One of the ways science makes major advances is by studying situations, circumstances, and events that are the exception to the usual way things work. These are sometimes called anomalies or exceptions to the rule. Most scientists ignore anomalies, but in fact, these are the very things we should be studying. If something breaks the rule, no matter what it is, no matter how infrequent it is, no matter how remote the probability, it means that a new possibility has arisen. And if a new possibility has presented itself, there must be a mechanism. Even if only one person out of 10 million cures himself of cancer or of AIDS, we have to pay attention. The point is that it doesn't matter if something happens only once in 10 million, because if it has happened even once, there must be some mechanism to account for its occurrence. And if there is a mechanism, then as scientists we want to know what that mechanism is, because once we understand the mechanism, we may be able to reproduce the phenomenon. Galileo, Copernicus, Newton, and Einstein are examples of scientists who questioned the prevailing assumptions of their time and expanded their view to include phenomena that had previously been ignored. These and other great scientists paid attention to anomalies and sought to understand the mechanism that explains them. When something doesn't fit the paradigm, doesn't fit the pattern, doesn't fit the theory, it forces us to expand or change the theory to incorporate the exceptional situation. A good example of this is a friend of ours who was diagnosed with AIDS over 15 years ago. He was close to death when he made the choice to change his life. He started meditating, began eating a healthy diet, and made the commitment to eliminate toxins from his life. 15 years later, he's feeling completely well and has undetectable levels of the HIV virus in his blood. When we first met him, he was an anomaly, but now we know many more people like him. Our theory of consciousness predicts that if we reach a critical mass of people who have the same experience, then it will become true for everyone. We believe that these same principles apply to human aging. If you look at recent historical times, we see the average life expectancy has shifted remarkably. The average lifespan of a human being during the Roman Empire was 28 years. The average lifespan of a human being born in the Western world at the beginning of the 20th century was 49 years. Although in the past, high rates of infant mortality influenced human life expectancy, the fastest growing segment of the American population today is over the age of 90 years. A baby girl born in America today is expected to live just less than 80 years. An infant boy has a life expectancy of almost 74. Historically, there are many people who have lived to ripe old ages and have made major contributions to civilization. Leonardo da Vinci was drawing sketches in his 60s. Leo Tolstoy was writing novels into his 70s, and Michelangelo was sculpting in his 80s. Winston Churchill, with his fondness for cigars and scotch, was active and productive until his death at age 90. As our collective consciousness embraces the belief that we can have the biology of youth with the wisdom of experience, it will become the pervasive experience. Recognizing that human beings do not age at the same rate, scientists have described three different ways to characterize a person's age. The first is chronological age, which is what your birth certificate says. Your chronological age cannot be altered through mind-body approaches, but it has the least relevance to how you feel or function. Biological age is a measurement of how well your physiological systems are functioning. It is the most important component of the aging process. Your biological age is calculated in reference to an average population of people who have the same chronological age that you have. Values for almost every biochemical and physiological process can be determined for different age groups. Known as the biological markers or biomarkers of aging, these include blood pressure, amount of body fat, auditory and visual thresholds, hormonal levels, immune function, temperature regulation, bone density, skin thickness, cholesterol levels, blood sugar tolerance, aerobic capacity, and metabolic rate. Once you know your results, you can compare them with the group average and see if your biomarkers are older or younger than your chronological peers. Your biological age can be very different from your chronological age. A 50-year-old person who takes good care of himself or herself can have the biology of a 35-year-old. Alternatively, a 50-year-old person who has not been attentive to his or her health may have the biology of a person many years older. Whatever your biological age is today, we believe we can alter it by implementing the changes recommended in this audiobook. Biological age is the key component of the aging process. Psychological age is your subjective experience of how old you feel. We meet many people in their 60s who report that they feel better than they did in their 30s. In prior times, they may have been smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day, were unhappy in their jobs, and were not eating well. Since instituting the 10 steps to reverse aging, their mental and physical well-being has dramatically improved. They have learned to relax and enjoy life, so although they are chronologically older, they unequivocally feel younger than they did years ago. Psychological age is closely linked to biological age. When the body is functioning in a more efficient, energetic manner, we experience this vitality as feeling more alive. Although we cannot reverse our chronological age, we can reverse the more important measures of our biological and psychological age, and by so doing, can regain the physical and emotional vitality we had in the past.